Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We want to welcome all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast and Christian Television Network, and of course, our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. Joining me here today to encourage you is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello. Hello. What was that right there?
Wow.
Was that a...
Wow. No good day. He just went straight for you today.
Hello. Right for the jugular.
There you go.
Hey.
Right.
Hey. Hey, good day, sir.
Good day.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day. Welcome. Welcome. It's encouraging to have all of us here today and all of those that are connecting with us all around the world. Listen, right now, I mean, we're hearing so many from you guys that are connecting in the Middle East. It's pretty awesome. We're going to be talking about some things about Ramadan and what's happening, how Muslims are finding Jesus in today's program, and you don't want to miss it. But so super, super exciting. But all the way from Nigeria, Iran, Syria, a bunch of places, you know, and they're just connecting and logging Egypt. I don't know if I said that, but it's just so, so, so cool. And we're with you, and we're glad you're with us. And we're excited about what we're going to be doing together, because it takes all of us.
That's
you know,
right.
It takes all of us to continue to trumpet and keep the conversation light and to continue to share the good news of Jesus. I'm telling you, you wake up in the morning, and I'm like, you know, I'm just thankful today for Jesus.
That's right.
I'm thankful. Amen. That God has already done it all. He's victorious. He is the great overcomer. And I can rest in his finished work. And maybe you're struggling today and you're saying, man, I can't carry this. The pressure's so rough and so tough. Life is just, you know, hitting me waves after waves with so many different circumstances and trials. I want to encourage you. Jesus said, listen, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy burdened. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and light. And I never really understood that, Steve, until I kind of start learning about, you know, how you put a yoke on a cow and how they walk. And I started realizing that, wow, God can carry this. I don't have to carry this.
So you get that heavy burden that's bigger than you.
I don't have to carry this.
Oh,
God
yeah.
can carry this, and he can carry me. And whatever I'm facing is just a momentary thing. This too shall pass, and God is the conqueror. He's the great overcomer, and he's called us in him to be more than conquerors. So we just want to encourage you with that today. We're going to be talking about Anne Graham and 777. You know, the Lord spoke to her with an urgent call to Joel chapter 1, which is so encouraging. You know, we're just all hearing continually what God is saying. We released the protocol for the outpouring not too long ago, and what God was saying in Joel chapter 1, because everyone's familiar with Joel chapter 2, which is the great outpouring, and your sons and daughters will prophesy and have dreams and visions. But Joel chapter 1 is about judgment, and oftentimes judgment precedes revival, and we're just excited about how God's letter, and today's the seventh day, and we're going to be talking more about that in today's program. Also, the goalie from USA. I mean, listen, we've been hearing about the World Cup. I believe they still have a couple more weeks to go. But, you know, the United States is out, and they lost to Belgium. But, you know, a hero has emerged from the USA soccer team, and his name is Tim Howard. You know, this guy, he did such an awesome thing. He blocked 16 goals before they wind up losing 2-1. 16.
Wow. In the one game?
In the one game, 16.
Wow.
Amazing. 20 million people in the United States alone saw this game. And he's just like, you know, he's on everything now. But here's the cool thing. He's a believer, and he loves Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about his story and what God did to save him. And it's pretty amazing, pretty awesome stuff. And, of course, we're going to be sharing about what's happening right now in for Muslims all around the world. It's Ramadan. It starts June 28th to July 27th, or 20th, 30 days. And this is their time of fasting and prayer. And many Muslims this time during this time, they find Jesus Christ because they're praying. And we're going to share with you an awesome testimony of a person who was following Islam, who was a Muslim, and they came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Beautiful.
And absolutely amazing. But, you know, we just shared Independence Day, and which is wonderful, July the 4th. And, you know, besides hot dogs and fireworks, and it's a time that our nation pauses for a moment. It's amazing. Mostly it's a holiday across the board, but many businesses, you know, shut down and close. And it's a day that we get to remember. You know, it's so good to pause and to remember, you know, what America stands for. The fact that we were birthed into a nation and that our country still exists today. Mm-hmm. You know, most democracies, it's been said, don't last past, you know, a couple of hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been going pretty strong, and we're hitting some rough spots, but we believe that we can stand. We can make it through this by putting God first. And, of course, not forgetting Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Our nation's always been blessed since we've always recognized, and you know, Israel. Think about President Harry Truman in 1948 when Israel became a nation. I think it was 8 to 11 minutes after they declared themselves a nation that Harry Truman, right there from the White House, declared, you know, their backing for Israel as its own country and put the full force of the United States behind that. And it was amazing.
Mm.
And ever since then, you know, they have been our friends, and even before we've had a love, you know, for Jewish people, but they've been our friends, and they are the lone democracy in the Middle East. And I know that here, right before we celebrated the 4th of July, Bibi, the Prime Minister of Israel, shared some thoughts at the embassy, and which was pretty cool. This guy is such an amazing leader, and, you know, he speaks with, his words are not empty.
Yeah.
You know, today a lot of leaders are words that just kind of fall to the ground. But you understand that when Bibi's speaking, you better listen.
That's right.
Because he's going to deliver on what he says. And you have to when you're a nation that's been surrounded with 170 missiles, where people want to continue to kill you and throw rockets into your country, where they strap bombs to themselves and want to blow themselves up to do you harm.
Mm-hmm.
You need to say what you mean, and you need to mean what you say.
Yeah.
Because they don't like you. And we've been talking about JJ, which is, you know, the persecution of Christians, Jews, and Christians. But today, on, you know, as this season, we celebrate the 4th of July and what that means to us. It's wonderful to see Israel and the Prime Minister step on up. And in his remarks, he says that we share a common bond together, the United States and Israel. And he says the secret of this special relationship between the United States and Israel can be summarized in four simple words, and they are shared values and common interests. You know, we share the values that, listen, you have rights. You have rights. You know, we can have a democracy. You know, we have common interests, and that kind of knits us together as a nation. And then when you think about how the United States is predominantly a Christian nation because of the Christians that live in this nation, and we have a lot of Jews that live here as well, you know, we share our Judeo-Christian faith locks together. We have similarities. You know, our Bible is the, you know, first five books of our Bible is the Pentateuch, is what Moses wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just pretty cool to see him say that and to say that he stands with us as we stand with them. And they are our friends. When I was in Israel, when I was in Jerusalem, in the market, which was pretty a neat experience, I had a chance to buy something from some vendors. You know, when you're in Israel, you just want to spend money in Israel. You want to support the locals and just get behind them. And there was this thing. I forgot what it was. I was getting some kind of bag or something. But it had Jerusalem in the center of it. And I remember that the merchant looked at me, and he looks right in the middle of Jerusalem and says, USA. The letter USA is right in the middle of Jerusalem. And he wanted me to know that, hey, you know, but he was very genuine in how he communicated. I never saw that before.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to be real genuine in how he communicated that, hey, I'm, you know, we're for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked back and said, hey, we're for you too.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
It was pretty cool experience. So We want to be able to stay. You know, there's a lot of things happening right now in Israel. Keep them on your forefront. Continue to pray. You know, they are seeking justice for the three boys that were kidnapped and then subsequently murdered and they found in the ditch. Also, there are reports that there's a young Palestinian boy who has kind of revenge killing, and they're trying to investigate that. That's horrific as well. You know, you don't fight evil with evil. You fight evil with truth.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're going to get to the bottom of it, and they're going to have some justice. But my understanding is that the prime minister is already, they've done some strikes, and I believe they have a whole lot more in store. Sending a clear message, you're not going to continue to harm our children. You're not going to continue to harm our way of life. You're going to stay on that side, and we're going to stay on our side, and we can get along as you respect. You know, it's amazing. You can get along with anyone as long as you have a simple word you abide by, respect.
Yeah.
You can get along with, as long as you respect and stay on your side and don't try to do us harm, then we wouldn't have to retaliate. This is Israel. And so continue to pray, continue to support them as they defend themselves from all sorts of attacks. More when we come right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Is the Bible a banned book within a state penitentiary? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work at a juvenile institution for the state of California. I have always had my Bible on my desk, my personal Bible, and the chaplain has asked me to hand out materials for the students that request it. My supervisor has informed me that I must remove all the materials, including my personal Bible, and I'd like to know what my rights are concerning that.
Now I'm going to get you right over to our legal department at the American Center for Law and Justice, because inside of prisons throughout the United States, and that would include juvenile facilities, there are chaplains, and those chaplains have Bibles, and those chaplains give spiritual counsel. And inmates that are in custody are also encouraged and allowed to go to worship services that take place. So the idea that a Bible would be off limits in the workplace of a juvenile detention facility is just ridiculous. Hang on the line. We'll get our lawyers in touch with you right away.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does too.
And I think Chris does too. He's shaking over there.
Smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, he's jumping. He abides too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to him, giving him dreams, and it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, he will definitely, definitely speak.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're just talking about our shared common values with Israel and how we're just finished celebrating the 4th of July and what that means to us. I love Israel, and we want to continue to support them and walk with our friendship out and encourage our leaders to be friendly towards Israel. I love when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu comes and speaks before Congress. I mean, he gets so many standing ovations, and it's us. Those are our representatives, you know, standing up for Israel, and I certainly appreciate them doing that on our behalf.
Well, it's so beautiful, too, when you hear him speak about that during such a significant moment in our in the nation of America, how he says, Israel celebrates independence with you. We stand with you. Mm-hmm. And it's so encouraging. It's just like, there's not, I don't know any other nations that do that, that celebrate our independence with us.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Well, you know, we are have been experiencing the 777 urgent call to prayer. Ann Graham Lutz, which is Reverend Billy Graham's daughter, was given this mandate by the Lord to call an urgent prayer. And we shared previously just how we're all hearing the same thing, what God's saying, because we shared about this as well in regards to Joel chapter 1. She felt like the Lord was showing her in the scriptures that it's that, you know, we need a serious turn to God. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is through repentance and turning back to him. And so there was three focuses. The urgent prayer call was to start on the seventh month, which is the month of July. It was supposed to occur for the full first one through, you know, the 7 days of July, the first week. And then on the seventh day, I believe it fell on a Monday, the seventh day was called for 7 hours of fasting. And there was three distinct prayer targets that were praying during this time period. One is that for God the Father to restrain and protect and deliver his people from the evil that has come into the world. And so that's one of the prayer focuses. The second prayer focus is for God the Son to be exalted, magnified, and glorified in his church and in our nation and in our lives. You know, oftentimes we say, God bless America, when in reality we need to be saying, hey, America needs to bless God. We want to see Jesus glorified, not just, you know, in our nation. It all begins in our own hearts first, you know. So it starts in the beginning with us. And the last prayer focus is for God the Holy Spirit to fall on us in a fresh way, compelling the church to repent of sin and our nation to return to faith in the living God, resulting in a great national spiritual awakening.
Wow.
And so we're excited about this. We're excited about joining with Ann and many of the church leaders across, you know, the nation and the world, praying for, you know, we got to turn back to God.
Right.
We've got to turn back to God, which, you know, I've been reading Evan Roberts' book on Evan Roberts and the Great Welsh Revival. It's called World on Fire, written by Rick Joyner. And one of the things that Rick Joyner shares in the books is oftentimes we believe that tough times would cause people to repent. He says most of the moves of God, they didn't occur. The judgment came after the revival, not before the revival. And that oftentimes people are saying that, you know, they're hearing that there's going to be tough economic times, and we've heard it. This is true. But he says that people are more likely not to turn to God during that time. History says that they wind up cursing God during that time. And so, you know, it's don't wait, you know, because what happens is that sometimes people fall into a position, they're going to wait for a judgment to come. They're going to wait for something to happen before they share the gospel. It's like, no, share the gospel now.
Yeah, right.
Share the gospel now. One thing I've learned a little bit going through the hurricanes and different disasters that have happened is that you can begin to tell people and warn them and share with them, you know, you need to come to Jesus before things happen.
Right.
And then you can talk to them after whatever happened, you know, happened, and point back to it. But in the midst of whatever the disaster is, whether it's, you know, a tornado, whether it's an earthquake, an hurricane, or anything that, you know, that nature, in the middle of it, people fall into a survival mode. They get totally caught up in survival, whatever that tragic event was. They get caught up on the basics. And at that time, everyone becomes an expert. They've been watching the Weather Channel 24 hours a day, and everybody knows something, and they're less likely to be humble. The focus is not on God. Like, look what just happened. These are, you know, floods of biblical proportion. Never happened in 500 years, you know. Mm-hmm. You think maybe God might have something to do with this. During that time, mm-hmm. all they're interested in communicating oftentimes is survival at hand, not, you know, let's think about this.
Right.
So the idea is to, you know, preach the gospel all the time, mm-hmm. before, after, and during, but to continually speak about Jesus. Jesus is our only hope. You can come up with great programs. You can come up with great ideas. You can come with all different types of outreach and helps and all type of things like that. But if we're not preaching Jesus and him crucified, we're not preaching the full gospel message.
Right.
And that's what Jesus called us to do, mm-hmm. is through the foolishness of what's preached, he chose to save the world. And that's what we need to get back to basics. So I'm thankful for Ann and all of those that are praying alongside of Ann and are believing for a great spiritual outpouring and a spiritual awakening. I know mm-hmm. that Rodney Howard Brown is holding events to celebrate America Amen. During this time as well.
Yeah, it's huge to be able to see. It's just how God is speaking to so many people, even from different nations, to respond and say, it's not over for America. And I love, you know, recently Dutch Sheets said the same thing. It's just like, you know, if you hear someone say it's over for America, if you hear someone say that, you know, God doesn't have a plan for America, don't listen to them.
Yeah. Right.
Don't listen to them. It's just like, God loves the people of this nation. And it's just like, a lot of times it's like when you think it's that last moment, you think there's no hope, that's when God's like, that's when I step in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And as we get to the place of mm-hmm. desperation, it's, you know, this is what happened with Israel. They went through a hard time, judgment, got humbled, then they cried out to God, and somehow they got lost in the blessing. Imagine how that happens, you know. They get lost in the blessing, and then they come back to God. They're humbled, mm-hmm. and they cry out to God again. It's like, mm-hmm. let's stay at this place. Right. Let's stay low.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it reminds me about a message that Greg spoke on a while back. It's called, Can You Stand to Be Blessed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
It's like so many times, you know, we pray. We ask God, Lord, will you bless me? Will you bless me? Will you give me this job? Will you mm-hmm. give me whatever this thing is? Mm-hmm. And then when God gives it to you, not long after that, you end up just turning your back on mm-hmm. him. And well, I mean, I've seen that so many times. They just walk away.
Yeah.
It's it really is a sad thing.
They lost a blessing.
Because God does desire to bless you, and he desires to give you everything that you need and even your desires, but he doesn't want to give them to you at the expense of losing you. And you have to be able to stand in the midst of the blessing. A lot of people, you know, can't mm-hmm. stand in the blessing. And you look at it, you say, well, how is that true? Well, look at our nation. I mean, look how mm-hmm. blessed we've been. This is a great example. Just look around. We have so much to be thankful for and appreciative for.
Yeah.
But so many times the things that are on people's minds, the things that are on people's thoughts, and the words coming from their lips are about lack, what they don't have, what they wish they had. And they don't recognize that it's been God's hand of favor upon us.
Yeah.
They credit themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you only have 90, you have only 3% of the church actually tithing and honoring God in the tithes and the offerings, according to George Barna, and 97% are not even believing that their wealth and their blessings come from the Lord, then that's going to have a ripple effect on the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it's just a call back. It's a call back to God. It's a call back to recognize that he alone is holy. He's God,
mm-hmm.
and that he deserves our allegiance, our love, and our adoration.
Mm-hmm. I think about what you said earlier, too. It's just like so often that we can say, you know, God bless America, God bless America, but it's like you got to switch that and say it's time for America to bless God and not get so focused on the blessing, but turn back to the God that gave us the blessing.
Mm.
Because the blessing was nothing more than because we looked to God first.
Yeah.
The blessing mm-hmm. was the outcome of that. And it's just like we've got to switch and we've got to return back to our first love.
Yeah. Listen, if we don't, you know, turn our hearts to him, if we don't turn our hearts to Jesus, you know, we're going to continue this downward spiral. And the hope and the encouragement is that so many right now, I mean, I'm hearing this in like surround sound, mm-hmm. you know, I'm hearing it from so many of God's saints that they're mm-hmm. saying, listen, we're believing for God to touch our nation again. We understand that we are in the desperate times, and desperate times call for desperate measures. And don't wait for judgment to come. Don't wait for bad things to come. You can go after God right now and have your own personal revival. You can have your own personal awakening, mm-hmm. awaken to the things of God, mm-hmm. because he desires to walk with you. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about the rest of our program about what is happening in the Middle East, what's happening with Muslims right now as they enter a season of Ramadan, and how God is saving Muslims and they're finding Jesus Christ. More when we come right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
For all of our listeners out there on VFN Radio, we love to hear from you. Thank you for liking us on Facebook. And we are just beginning to venture out. And it's like, what is this Twitter thing? You know, we thank you for all the ones that are following us, and we're seeing you come in, and just be patient with us. It takes a little while for us to figure out that kind of technology. But and also our Facebook, Facebook friends that are out there, and our Christian Television Network audience. Hello to the Gulf Coast, out there in the sandy beaches. It's real hot right now, I think.
Very hot.
But so if you have a sailboat, write to us, and I'll be some, I don't know, what do you call that?
Visitation.
I'll be some ballast. You know, John and I both got to go because you got to sit on one side of the boat to ballast the boat.
Bounce the other side. There you go.
Pat wouldn't even put, he doesn't have.
He can't go.
No.
Mm-mm.
So, but. The beautiful sandy beaches. We are on the Gulf Coast every day now between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. And that's very strategic because it's down there in the Gulf Coast region. It is before your local news comes on. I think it comes on around 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And is an alternative to a, what is that, world news perspective? You can get both a viewpoint of what's taking place in the world to get a perspective on VFN TV and the daily radio program. So when you go into your local news and you want to hear, you know, what's taking place and it's a good local news in that area, that you have a perspective now. You have a perspective, and you can go to sleep that night having a godly perspective. At least we're trying to seek that you can have a word over your heart, that you can have peace, and you can help people the next day at work. Mm. As a matter of fact, you can listen to us on the radio all day long. If you want to change the environment of your workplace, change the environment of your home, turn on VFN Radio.
Yes.
Turn it on, download our app, go to VFNTV.com to find out all the different ways you can get us.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. Or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about how Muslims during the month of Ramadan are actually finding Jesus Christ, which is so encouraging. This is a time... this year starts June 28th and goes through July 27th, and it's a time where they fast during this month and they kind of consecrate themselves to you know, their worship of their God. But as they're fasting, many of them are having dreams, they're having all kinds of visions, and Jesus is showing up, you know, to them, and they're finding him. And so we want to encourage you during this month to stand right now. I mean, a lot of times, listen, you know, it's reported there's 1.2 billion Muslims in the world, and that 15 to 20% of them are radical jihadists.
How many?
15 to 20% are radical.
No, how many?
Are... 1.2 billion.
Oh, billion. Okay. Wow.
Yes, around the world.
Wow.
And so that gives you about 200, maybe 300 or so million of them that are doing the radical Islam. And but people forget that, listen, there's a great majority of them that are not radical, that many of them grew up in this religion. I mean, that was the thing with Miriam Ibrahim in Sudan. The big issue there was that they tried to say that she was a Muslim, because she was born into a Muslim family.
Right.
And she says she later converted and she changed her name and all that type of stuff. But they tried to say, no, you were born a Muslim. You're going to stay a Muslim.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's interesting, you know. But so there's many of them that are searching for God, and they're trying to search God in the way that they know. But they need to come to the full realization of who Jesus Christ is, because they understand Jesus to be a prophet and they have some understanding, but they don't recognize him as the Son of God, which is everything, which is the atonement, which is the forgiveness of our sins and why he passed away and died on the cross and to redeem us and to buy us back from Satan and the world and hell. I mean, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave for us.
Right.
And they're coming. You know, they're coming, and we want to share with you a testimony. First, I want to share with you a quick testimony of a Muslim who had an encounter with God. And it basically says that in a dream or in a vision, this person had a supernatural encounter, and God came to them. And as they were actually reading the Gospels, they were reading Luke chapter 3, when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, they actually felt, this is what it says, they felt wind coming upon them, right? Uh-huh. And their testimony is, this is what they heard. This is my son, right? When they read, this is my son who I'm well pleased, a storm, a wind broke out in the room, and they heard this voice saying, I am Jesus Christ, whom you hate. I am the Lord whom you're looking for. He recalls, this guy saying, and he began to weep. And it's the first time that he encountered God in that way. I mean, he's reading the scriptures. He feels a wind break out. As he's reading, the Holy Spirit's descending on Jesus. The wind is breaking out in his presence. Mm-hmm. And he hears Jesus speaking to him in a voice. And he gives his life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so many are coming to God through supernatural occurrences. Because, you know, when you're fasting, you're wide open. And they're experiencing some amazing, amazing encounters. But many are coming to God just by a witness. You know, sometimes you can have all kinds of stereotypes in your mind about people just because of what you listen to on the news. And that's why it's important to listen to VFN TV and watch VFN TV as much as you can, because we try sincerely to give you a biblical perspective to the news that you're seeing on a daily basis. And we want to bring Christ and hope into that situation. But if all you're seeing of Muslims is a negative stereotype, then you're going to, as a Christian, not be open to reaching out to them.
Yeah.
You're going to write off 1.2 billion people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
1.2 billion people. And God doesn't write anyone off. Mm-hmm. He writes everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he writes them in, then we should write them in. So we want to encourage you to witness to Muslims, because God loves them. He died for them. And we want you to listen to a testimony by Dr. Ergun Kanner as he shares his encounter about how a young teenage boy refused to stop witnessing to him and just kept coming just day after day after day, talking to him about Jesus, inviting him to services, just kept on him. And he finally said, okay, I'm, you know, just to shut this guy up, I'm going to go with you. And what happened is that he had an encounter with God. I want you to watch as you're just totally encouraged.
What reached me for the gospel, it was one solitary high school boy who refused to take no for an answer. In the Western culture, in the Western civilization, Christians basically hit one shot and done. You tell somebody about Jesus, if they reject you, bye. You have to understand, in our world, for a Muslim to come to faith in Jesus Christ, to leave Islam, you lose your culture, family, job, home, sometimes your life. And the average Muslim, it takes 7 years to come to faith in Jesus. For me, it was any number of years. But one boy, from the moment he started talking to me, would not leave me alone. It didn't matter how many times I said no. He invited me to events. He invited me to special all-night things. He invited me to concerts. I said, no, 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 no. I did not want contact with the kafirim, with the infidel. Finally, my senior year in high school, to show him, I walked into this little church. So one solitary boy, one tiny little storefront church, one pastor who had maybe a sixth grade elementary school education. It was always the small, the isolated, the anonymous. And if you think about it, Christianity marches on the shoulders of anonymous people who have invested their lives. I mean, any person watching, if you do a detailed analysis of your life, most of the people who radically affected you were people who the world doesn't know their names. Their names aren't on the spines of books or on the sides of buildings. They're the anonymous. And it was an anonymous boy. It was an anonymous church. It was an anonymous pastor. And it was one little people who loved me to the cross. And this is important because everything I had ever learned about Christianity, I had learned from my imam, from my masjid, from my mosque, from my leadership. Every single one of them. And every caricature that I held was based on caricatures that other people had held. The meaner I was to them, or the more sarcastic I was, or caustic I was, the nicer they were to me. I sat by myself, boom, they all come sit around me. I'm churlish, and they just smile. I was amazed at the ability of the Christian to love me in spite of me. And this is important because it's unconditional. And when I finally afterwards asked them, why are you so nice to him? Why were you so? Well, I said, that's the way Jesus loved us. Romans 5:8, for God commanded his love toward us, but while we were still sinners, while we were still at war with him, while we still hated him, Christ died for us, the godly for the ungodly. That is a radical concept for somebody like me. He takes me to the pastor. The young man does. And the pastor says, what do you think about Jesus? And I said, in Isa, his name is Isa in Islam. We respect Isa. As a matter of fact, we named the 19th surah of the Quran after his mother, Surah Maryam. He said, you can't respect Jesus. It's something that I tell Muslims when they say, no, we hold him in high reverence and high respect. You cannot respect Jesus. Because Jesus declared himself to be God. Isa al-Messiah. Jesus said he was Messiah. And more than just Messiah to the Jew, but he came to die for the world. If Jesus said these things, he is not qualified to be a prophet in Islam. The people who claim to be God, and there's thousands of them throughout history that have claimed to be God, they are either diluted, or in the case of Jesus, he actually is who he says he is. But in either case, some man walking down the streets drinking alcohol who's talking to himself who thinks he's God does not deserve my respect. To summarize it, he said, you either revere him as God or reject him as a fraud, but you don't have the option of just respecting him. That door opened. He asked me this question. He said, Islam teaches that Jesus wasn't crucified. Yes, Surah 4, verse 157, Isa was not crucified, but somebody else in his place. He said, why would Jesus be indicted of a crime worthy of crucifixion to begin with? Was it trumped up charges? No. Was it blasphemy? Yes. What's blasphemy? In other words, he opened the door to me about crucifixion. That when Jesus died, his death had some meaning, some hope. In every debate that I've done, in every time I've debated, Muslim, Sunni, Sufi, Alawit, Shia, every debate I've ever done, this question always comes up from the Muslim. What does one man's death have to do with me? But you see, in Islam, there is a measure of this. If I die to further Islam, I am helping my children, I am helping my family, I'm helping future generations. So my death does, in fact, resonate throughout Islam. The question I ask them is, what would Jesus' death resonate for you? In other words, if Jesus shed his blood, I don't have to. Jesus' blood shed, Jesus' death offers me the one thing that Islam cannot answer, and that is the screaming need for my assurance, the screaming need for forgiveness. And so Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, dies on the cross, buried, 3 days, resurrects, ascends into heaven's temple, presents his blood, and then he sits down. And so then I will ask the Muslim, why would Jesus sit down? Is he tired? And he sat down because he was done. Finished. Atonement has been offered. If I may say it this way, Jesus strapped himself to a cross so that I wouldn't have to strap a bomb to myself. I lasted 4 days in that church. After so many years of struggling, I lasted 4 days. On the fourth day, I came forward. I told the pastor, Isa bin Allah, Jesus is the Son of God. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. Now, that's all preacher talk for simply saying that I wanted Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I accepted his sacrifice in my life. I accepted his bloodshed for me. I repented of my sin, turned my life over to him. He is not just a messenger. He is Messiah. And he's not just the lover of my soul. He is now the Lord of my life. And in so doing, I learned that I live much more righteously when I'm not trying to earn his favor. I do so because I've already been receiving his favor. I do so because I love him like a child to his father. I do things to love him, not to earn his love.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful wow. testimony. You were just hearing Ergen Kenner share how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I love what he said there. He said, Jesus strapped the cross to his back. Strapped himself to the cross so that I wouldn't have to strap a bomb to my back. I'm going to say that again. He said, Jesus strapped himself to the cross so that I wouldn't have to strap a bomb to my back.
Wow.
And think about that.
That's powerful.
So powerful. And we're talking about how Muslims can be one to Jesus Christ. They know about Isa, as he said. They know Jesus as a prophet, but they don't know him as the Son of God.
Yeah, it's huge because it really changes that paradigm, like he's saying, that Muslims understand that, okay, I have to die in the name of Allah to basically forward the movement of Islam. But it's just like, but just like he said, it's just like when Jesus died, he sat down because he was done.
It was finished.
Exactly. And it's just like Jesus did it, and it's not, it's just like I don't have to do anything to earn his love. All I have to do is just, I want to love him back. And learn how to love.
Yeah, they say that one of the greatest compelling things that turn Muslims to God is the revelation of the love of God. You know, Prayer Network puts out a 30 Days Prayer Network puts out some correspondence in about Muslims about how to pray for them. This is what they say. They say that by far the reason found most compelling for the greatest number of Muslims who have turned to Christ is the power of love. Like Paul, many a believer from a Muslim background has found that the greatest of these is love. Nearly half of all Muslims who have made a shift of faith allegiance have affirmed that the love of God was critical key in their decision. See, it's about the love of God. You can't turn away the love of God.
No.
Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about Ergen's testimony and how we can be empowered to reach the Muslims that are living right here, our neighbors. Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them, and he wants them to come into a revelation knowledge of his love. More when we come right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I mean, you can't be used now because you can't even talk. I mean, right?
Hey.
Proof positive.
I mean, look at this. I mean, here are these Southerners on here. Yeah. I've never heard. I mean, John's obviously from the South.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeehaw.
So it's like, usted habló es español. How does it sound country wise?
All I did was a dough bowl of chicken.
Yeah.
He's like, that sounded accurate.
No, I didn't. See, even though I did have some chicken this week, some chicken twice, three to four,
Whoa,
7 days.
Hey, chicken.
Yes. As Donna stood in line for me. Donna, we are getting to what we're going to cover today. We're going to be talking about Jerusalem and the unemployment rate that's and some different things happening. But
this line, yes.
She stood in this line, this little small. All you got to do is get down. This is all you have to do. Get you a chicken fryer, put you a building around it.
Oh, my God.
And they will come. And the only thing, they've got this place called down south. It's called Church's Chicken.
Oh, they have them everywhere. Oh,
wow. Church's Chicken. And in that, the it's basically a small building around a grease fryer. And there's nowhere to hardly stand in there. There's just a little room for the jalapeno pepper, a little room for the corn, which they now have healthy butter on it. So it's just like, it's a, just an artifact. And she stood there for the longest time.
Really?
Longest time to get me. She probably didn't want to cook. No, no, she did. And believe it or not, I ordered some chicken livers, some fried chicken livers.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I didn't eat. It was just like, they were not good. My mind started thinking, no, it wasn't. It was chicken ash.
Oh.
It was burnt too much. They just somebody's been a new law about chicken livers. Now you got to cook them until they're ashy, don't hurt you.
Oh.
So anyway, once she was there, you know, this is actually in the region that just got hit by this huge prophetic storm that happened, biblical proportions, as they're saying. She's talking to a lady, and the place is packed. So if they'll tell you a successful business, people think it's pizza. Down south, it is a big grease fryer. It's something that you can dip your chicken in flour and just throw it in there. And they'll line up all day long for biscuits and chicken. They being us. And
well, you and John anyway.
You got to double dip it. You used to. We got pictures.
Not anymore.
We got pictures.
I know.
The chicken man.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're just listening and watching to Ergen Kanner's testimony about how a high school boy refused to take no for an answer and continue to witness to his friend and say, listen, you got to come. You got to come. You can hear about Jesus. And he finally shows up to what he considered a small gathering to, you know, someone who he thought was uneducated. It doesn't matter. You know, people should get caught up with size and all these different things that matter so little. Listen, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have everything. You and Jesus, you and the God. I mean, you're a majority. You don't need nothing else. The anointing and the presence of God, believe me, makes the difference.
Yeah.
And the minister was able to minister to him and was asking him just some simple, simple questions that began to unlock a door that he was behind. And many of them are behind a door. It's a veiled door. And it's only truth that's going to be able to begin to turn as a key and begin to crack open. I believe that everybody wants Jesus. They're just in the midst of a veiled mind. They're in the midst of darkness. But as soon as they get just one crack, a little bit of that light, they themselves are going to kick that door open and say, what is it? I want that. I want that. And so we want to continue, you know, to pray for Muslims to find the Lord. But I love what he said, because I think that his statement was true when he said that in the West, our form of evangelism oftentimes is, you know, one shot and done. You know what I mean? I mean, here you go. They didn't receive the Lord there. Right. They didn't come to God. You know, I heard Larry Tomczak say that the average person needs to hear the gospel seven times before they actually give their lives to the Lord. And in this case, he says that it takes a Muslim an average of 7 years. I had not heard that before, but 7 years before they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember that his testimony was, Ergen's testimony, was that what he knew of Christianity was from the Iman. Well, how much can the Iman know about Christianity? And so we can't, you know, rest that they know you know, oftentimes their perception, people's perception about God is just what they've grew up with,
right.
You know, what they've seen around them, what someone else taught them.
Right.
But if you who know God, you have to help them. You got to be able to share and preach from your own experience. You know, there's nothing like the power of a testimony.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And it's like, just like what you're saying before, it's just like, no matter how, and he even says it specifically, no matter how many times he said no, and no matter how hatred he was towards them, they loved him even more.
Mm.
And that is what really began to just, you know, catch his attention. It's just like he would sit alone. They would just swarm around him. And that's what I think is so beautiful. It's like we can't just tell people, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Show them that unconditional love, because it's going to be that when it's like when people hate you, even when you're loving them, that it's going to cause them to ask that question. Why are you loving me amidst me treating you so badly? And then they're able to give that powerful truth of saying, well, that's because Jesus loved me unconditionally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Francis Assisi said, preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the love of God. It's it's the love that they people see, you know, us for each other is going to cause them to say, what's missing in my life?
Well, it's like you're saying, too. It's just like if someone has never experienced Christianity, if they only hear it from what someone else is telling them, the greatest witness is for you to demonstrate it and see Jesus in your life and to see him there, see him moving through you.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be that powerful encounter.
Yeah. Here's another testimony from these same folks. He says, by this, all will know that you're my disciples. Right? Scripture say this. If you have love for one another, right? Mm-hmm. They said love's attraction could be simplified into two subcategories. The first is love by example. And he talks about one Jordanian believer who attributes his conversion to the unconditional love and the aura of peace and contentment. You know, as believers, sometimes you take your peace for granted, not realizing that it's the peace of God. Mm-hmm. He is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
And I remember when that I got that revelation, because, you know, when you don't know God, your life is in continual torment.
Yeah.
You know, it's always at the mercy of a disaster or somebody else's storm, and you're constantly agitated because you can't find any peace.
Mm-hmm.
And when you accept Jesus into your life, the Prince of Peace comes into your life, and things begin to settle, and you carry a peace with you everywhere you go. And in fact, the peace will guide you in many, many decisions. If you have to make decisions and there is no peace, you need to pull back, because God is always in the peace. And so he continues to share this testimony that it was the unconditional love and peace that he saw in a Christian friend. You know, just like you were saying, Steve, it's your witness, it's your everyday lifestyle that people can look at and say, there's something different about you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's describing the friendliness of this Christian and the peace that was happening in this person's life, and how they, because they were friends, they were able to see, you know,
there's
his friends.
Different.
Yeah, his answers, his prayers were being answered.
Mm-hmm.
They were seeing this love. This what is it? What's on you?
Right.
And it's not what's on me, but it's more that it's who's in me.
Yeah.
It's Jesus Christ that's in me, and when he's in me, yeah, things happen all around me, and they can happen in and around you. And for our friends and those that are watching us in the Middle East, we want to encourage you that, listen, Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life, and he wants you to know his unfailing love. You know, many people like to say they know what love is, but until you encounter God, you don't know what love is.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You can only love someone to the extent and to the proportion that you've experienced love.
Man.
You can only give what you've received. And if your definition of love is shallow or, you know, immature, not reaching the full measure, then you are loving them. But when you encounter the love of God,
it changes you.
Totally.
Yeah.
It transforms you. You know, and I often say, I'm not in a place that I can turn away and resist that type of love.
Yeah.
It's unfailing. It's everlasting. And he loves you to the end.
Yeah. Well, I think about like what you're saying, just the importance of peace, because the devil would want to lie to you and get you to believe that lie. It's just like, well, my peace isn't really that significant. But it's like when you're, like you're saying, God is, it's not just the peace. It's like Jesus is the Prince of Peace. His very presence is peace. And it's when you're walking in that peace, it's those around you or whatever they're going through, the ups and downs, the emotions, the trials, the anxieties. It's when you're in that, when you look and see someone in peace, that it's such a bold witness. Because I know personally, in that transition, when God came into my life, I mean, I was going through anxiety attacks to just the horrific state where I was like, I felt like I couldn't leave my own house. Mm-hmm. But it's just like when you have the peace of God in your life, that in itself is such a witness. Because like you're saying, people look at you and you're like, how are you always calm? You're always peaceful. And it's just like, what is it? And it's like, it's God.
Yeah.
You see Jesus in my life.
Yeah. It's the Prince of Peace. Mm. I like another statement that he says, which I thought was quite profound, because Muslim and Islam teaches to respect Jesus. They respect him as a prophet. Says you can't respect him because this one who you call a prophet actually says he's the son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Islam says that if, you know, you can't call yourself a son of God. Well, he is a son of God. You only have to revere him. You have to give your life. That's your only option, is not to respect Jesus, but to actually come to love him, to serve him, and to give your life to him. So we encourage you, listen, give your life to Jesus. He wants to love you. And for us believers, we can do three things. We can continue to pray that the eyes of the heart of Muslims are opened all around the world. We can meet Muslims in our communities and reach out to them and share them in practical ways the love of Jesus. And of course, we can always give financially to ministries that are supporting the gospel into these Muslim nations like VFNTV and other many awesome ministries. Let's do our part together and let's preach the gospel to everyone, including Muslims. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
If you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them.
Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, mm-hmm. and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your mm-hmm. iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.